All right, our scripture today, I got some stuff right in the bulletin and some stuff wrong. The scripture and the message I actually forgot to change from last week. So we are going to Revelation chapter 2, starting with verse 1, going through verse 7. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, who is the angel at the church of Ephesus? Who are they probably talking about? The messenger.
The pastor.
The pastor. I wish I had candy bars to throw out. I'm going to do that sometime. Somebody who gets something right, I'm going to throw them a candy bar. The messenger is probably the pastor, is who they're probably talking about here. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? And it's not because the pastor's an angel, other than angel means messenger. Those are synonymous terms, angel, messenger. And so to the messenger of the church of Ephesus, right? These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, just to catch everyone up. Who is he who holds the seven stars and the seven lampstands, walks amidst the seven lampstands? Jesus. Just imagine I threw you a candy bar. Who said Jesus? Okay. What are the seven golden lampstands? The seven churches. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Sounds like a good church to attend, doesn't it? Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else. You ever say, or else? You get that room cleaned up, or else. A lot of times that's an idle threat, isn't it? This is not an idle threat. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. We're not going to get into that today. The sermon's long enough without me talking about the Nicolaitans. Nicolaitans, it's two Greek words, conquer laity. The Nicolaitans, they were a group that tried to create a division between the congregations and the churches. They would probably try to mislead the people of the church. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And may God add his blessing to the reading, the hearing of his word. And all of God's people said, amen. And it's really good to ask for that blessing, especially when you're reading scripture from this book, because this book actually promises a blessing. I'm not a prosperity preacher, but this book promises a blessing to those who read it. And so we ask for that blessing as we hear the words from Revelation chapter 2. to catch you up. We've done that a little bit, talking about the lampstands and the stars. And the only reason we know that is because chapter 1, verse 20, it tells you what those things are. It tells you that those are the churches, that those are the messengers. And so that's how we know that. I've spent a lot of time in the last 2 weeks talking about the context of Revelation, about how difficult it would have been for John to write this book because there were things that he was seeing that he had no context for. He didn't know what a helicopter was. So if he's trying to describe a helicopter, it would be very difficult. We just say helicopter, and there's not a person in this room that doesn't know what we're talking about, right? But if you had to describe it without the word helicopter, it would go in the air anyhow. So we've talked a lot about the context in the last 2 weeks. So now we're getting into some meaty part of this. This is the first church of seven that we're going to study over the next 7 weeks. This is the church at Ephesus. I want to tell you a little bit about the letter and a little bit about the church, about this church. The letter, they did not pass out things like we do, like this. They did not have bulletins like this. Everything they had was a scroll. That's what they had, scrolls. You know what a scroll is, right? Alex, do you know what a scroll is? It would be a long paper, and you would roll it up like this. But it would be much longer than this. And you would roll it up like that. So then when you would read it, you would unwind it like this. And this scroll, this letter to the church at Ephesus, all seven churches would have gotten the report cards on every other church. I've mentioned a little bit this morning about Facebook. And do you know any Facebook? You know what a Facebook creeper is? Some of you do, right? Some of you don't. Let me just say, it's sort of a way of spying on people without even leaving your living room. You can sit right in your living room and spy on people. If Missy wants to see, if Colin's got a new girlfriend at college, and Missy wants to find out about her, she doesn't have to hire an investigator. She doesn't have to drive down to Fairmont. She doesn't have to do like you all had to do when we were young and ask people. She can just look up the girl on Facebook, and she can see pictures of her. If it's a picture from church youth group, Missy's going cha-ching. And if it's a picture of the girl out with the bong at a party, Colin, that's a Facebook creeper. And if anybody's being honest, anybody who has Facebook is a Facebook creeper. You're looking at things that not that you shouldn't be, but you're looking at things of people who are friends of friends, and man, they like you look at that reunion picture that Cindy Hall put on, and Ellen was in the picture. And you're going, man, some of those people have aged pretty well. Some of them have. And then, okay, so enough of Facebook creepers. Think about this scroll. These churches, they're reading about their church, but do you think that they're only looking at their church? They're looking at the others too. I mean, probably every one of them is going, man, I'm glad I'm not that church in Laodicea. God's going to spit him out of his mouth. They're all looking at all this. So the church at Ephesus is the one we're going to focus on today. And the church of Ephesus, let me tell you a little bit about Ephesus. Ephesus was one of the three most important cities in the Roman Empire. Ephesus was a center of commerce. What makes it must have had a stream going by it, because usually like there's a mountain pass or a stream, something makes that a vital place where you can get goods to and from. And so this church at Ephesus was a really important city. Ephesus is talked about quite a bit I mean, there's a book in the Bible, the book of Ephesians, written to the church at Ephesus. But I want to go to Acts chapter 19. Paul, I did this morning. I told this part before we read the scripture. It made the scripture mean more. Paul started the church at Ephesus. Paul was there for 3 years. And after 3 years, Paul left and Timothy became the pastor at Ephesus. You heard of Timothy? It's also a couple books of the Bible that are letters written to Timothy. And so when Paul got to Ephesus, he starts a church, people start coming, and people start becoming Christians. And then also in Ephesus, there's a temple there to a goddess named Artemis. Artemis. It's a goddess, and people made a lot of money selling Artemis knickknacks. Think of going to Disney, as Diane and I did this past week, and Disney has these bands now, and it's a radio frequency type thing, so they can track you all over the park. They know what ride. They know Diane and I are now are show people and not ride people so much. Is that funny? Because we used to be all about the rides. We went to a lot of shows this time. And there's a lot of knickknacks at Disney. Someone said, "What? Do you have a Mickey t-shirt on today?" I didn't buy a Mickey t-shirt. In Ephesus, they're selling Artemis keychains. Artemis refrigerator magnets. And you young people, it's just, they didn't really have refrigerators back then, so they weren't selling. But they were selling Artemis statues. Anything that they could sell with this goddess. And I was wanting to tell you, she's the goddess of, but she was the goddess of so much stuff that it's crazy. And so Paul goes into this city of what? Ephesus. Starts a church, people are starting to turn away from Artemis and turn towards Jesus. And it creates a riot in Ephesus. It's in Acts chapter 19. If you want to go home and read that, you can. There's a riot, and people are upset because they're losing their livelihood. And so Paul stays there 3 years. He gets ready to go, and in Acts chapter 20, it's one of the most poignant parts of the Bible for me. Paul calls the Ephesian elders together and says, "Listen, I'm leaving. You're getting a new pastor." If you've ever lost a beloved pastor, you know how this church at Ephesus. Paul's the founder of the church at Ephesus. He was there for 3 years. And now he says, "God's called me to go to start another church somewhere else. I'm leaving you in the capable hands of Timothy." And so he calls the elders together and he says, "But I've got a warning for you. There's going to be people who rise up who try to lead you astray. There's going to be people who come and teach you false doctrine. There's going to be people coming and saying, Jesus isn't really the way, Artemis is the way, and here, let me sell you this Artemis statue." Paul warns them. And then Paul prays over them, and one of the most poignant parts of the Bible for me is tears, and they're hugging and kissing as in a manly way, hugging and kissing and crying, and they put Paul on the ship and they know they're never going to see him again. Now, 50 years later, and I'm ballparking this, 50 years later, Paul writes this, or not Paul, but John now is writing this letter that Jesus says, "Write this down," and you know what he writes down? "You guys have done a good job. You've done a good job in working hard for Jesus. You've done a good job. You know, remember when Paul told you not to be led astray? You've done a good job. You've picked out the liars. You haven't followed them or listened to them." Sounds like a good letter, doesn't it? And what we tend to do is, we tend to say, okay, four really good things. But this I have against you. What did he have against them? They left their first love. The Scripture says, you have left your first love. And so, what we tend to do, what the world tends to do, what everybody who thinks they're going to heaven because they're good people tend to do is, it's the scales, right? Four really good things, persevering, not listening to liars, doing, working like crazy for the Lord, and hating those Nicolaitans, which God also hates. And then one bad thing. What's the one bad thing?
You left your first love.
Who's your first love? Jesus. Do you see the irony here? And so they're going, okay, four outweighs one, so we must be doing okay. This is a report card to the Church of Ephesus. And it's a way for us to self-examine ourselves. You who know me, you know I love the works, don't you? I love getting you involved in hands-on stuff, mission trips, going to the mission, working the food pantry. I love making the eggs at Easter time or in the middle of winter. That was just a joke. I love that part. I'm probably going to 2 football games this afternoon for the glory of Jesus. 2:00 and 3:30, right? For the glory of Jesus. But how easy does it become that we do these things just so... How easy would it be for me just to go to these football games so that people say nice things about me? How easy? Tell me. Pretty easy. Do I want them saying good things about me? Yes. I have to always remember why I do what I do. How cool is it that I get to go in the locker room before a football game when there's thousands of people, 1,000 people or hundreds or however many people outside waiting to see the football team come out? How cool is it that I get to be in the locker room with them? Do you think that a guy would think that's cool? It's cool. What I prayed on Friday night down at the Moorfield, I prayed and I reminded the young men in prayer. I said, there's little kids who want to be out on that field. There's recent graduates and old men who would give anything to be taking that field tonight. I love that. But I have to be careful that I'm not doing things for my glory or for my satisfaction. Do you see? It's what the Church of Ephesus, it's what God is telling the Church of Ephesus, you're doing all these works, but you don't love me anymore. You don't bring me flowers. You don't sing me love songs anymore. Thank you. Was that you, Kathy Brinkman? Take this candy bar. Jake, give that to her. You don't love me anymore. So that if you've got a million things on the good side, Paul says in another part of the Bible, it's all rubbish. It's all crap. The reason you're at church today, why are you at church today? Because it's habit? Or because you love Jesus? So Ephesus, it's a great story. It's a great picture. Every one of these next 7 weeks, it's going to be great for us And I'm not going to accuse anyone of anything. But it's an opportunity, it's going to be an opportunity every week in the next 7 weeks for me to self-examine. Obviously, I'm not going to self-examine you, right? Self-examine is, by definition, examining self. It's going to be a chance for you to say, today is a chance for you to say to yourself, why do I go to the Dawnview? It's because I love Jesus. It's a chance for me to say, why have I committed to spend this next few months with this football team as much as I'm able? It's because I love Jesus. Why do you do the works? It's because you love Jesus. And if that's not the reason, then nothing else matters. Return to your first love. Is there anybody who remember? I mean, Diane and I just in the past 2 weeks celebrated our 29th wedding anniversary. That's Diane, by the way, second row of people with the glasses. She always says, "You spoil me." Now, sometimes I really tick her off. I don't think she would say to me, I mean, there may have been a point in our marriage that she would have said to me, "You don't act like you love me anymore." But I repented of that. And I don't think that she would say, if something happened to me or to her, I don't think that we would be saying, "Boy, I wish we had..." One person just said to her on Facebook the other day, "You take more vacations than anybody I know." Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I took 4 vacation days to be gone this past week. We went to Madeira Beach, Daytona Beach, 2 days at Disney, and I took 4 vacation days. I still got 24 vacation days. I want to spend time with her. And it glorifies Jesus. It glorifies God when I do. Do you remember, you who are married and maybe been married for a long time, do you remember when you first got married? Like Stephanie, I saw a picture of your new granddaughter, Stephanie, with a Mrs. Felton apron on. Mrs. Felton apron. She's so happy and so proud and so in love. And there's going to be times, right? Ebbs and flows, right, Doris? Who just celebrated their 50th. It's going to be ebbs and flows. But do you remember when you first fell in love? Do you remember when you first fell in love with Jesus? Do you remember when you first got saved? Maybe you're a new church. Oh, I just love my church. I just love my pastor. I mean, even the people in it are just so nice. That's why I'm United Methodist. I'm not United Methodist because I think that they got everything right and everybody else got everything wrong. I'm United Methodist because Diane and I, when we were going from church to church trying to decide which church we liked the most, we decided that the people of the United Methodist Church in Sistersville, West Virginia, We like them the best. And that's why we're United Methodist. Matter of fact, in the beginning, it's sort of like this. That in the beginning, right? Any Elf fans here? The movie Elf? I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it, right? And then he leaves his dirty socks on the floor and dirty underwear. I thank Diane all the time, don't I? Not just for a sermon illustration. Every time I go to my drawer and it's all full of cleanly washed socks and underwear, I say to her all the time, thanks for washing my socks and underwear, don't I? I say it all the time. I mean, she said, well, I can't have you going commando. And I said, well, you know I would. She said, I know you would. She doesn't wash them because she loves me. She washes them because she doesn't want me going commando. And you, who don't know what that means, you can ask someone after church. But but then you don't get your way. Or then trials come. Or then you start receiving glory, or you take pride in something. And then you forget the love that you had. And that's what's happened to the church at Ephesus. Did I mention it was a very important city? Very important city. The church became very big, very powerful, probably prideful. And then they get a report card. And God's not pleased. You ever heard... Oh, gosh, I got another 30 minutes. You ever heard of an atheist church? Really? Has anybody heard of an atheist church? Colin has. Click on that other thing. It's like a picture... This is, you can go home, this is from the Huffington Post. You can go home and look this up if you like. Atheist church attracts backlash. The rise of the atheist megachurch. Comedians, atheist church plans massive expansion. You're going, wait a second. Well, the Church of Scientology, is that really a church? Scientology, that's not really a church, but they call it a church so they can get tax-exempt status. It's not really a church. Who set up the church? Jesus. The Jews had temples. When Jesus instituted this, he said, the church. The ecclesia. The gathering of his people together. Now the atheists, they love the idea of church. They just don't believe that there's a God who created everything. They don't believe that Jesus is God and that Jesus ordained the church. But they love getting together. They love the dinners. They love small groups. They love singing. Now, they don't play, they don't sing the Old Rugged Cross, but they might sing a little Styx or REO Speedwagon. They might sing, "Because I'm Happy," right? What's another popular new song? What's the Taylor Swift, "Drop It" or "Shake It Off"? "Shake It Off." Well, Taylor, "Shake It Off." This atheist church is getting together singing Taylor Swift, "Shake It Off." And you're going, some of you young people are going, "Man, I'd love to go to a church where they sang Shake It Off. I can work that into a sermon." They're hearing inspirational messages. There is hope. The doctors might find a cure. There's hope. They see there. It's an atheist church. And it started in Europe, and it's spread to America. There are atheist churches in California right now. They don't believe in... They believe that the world's just spinning, and everything just worked out right to where there's life. This planet supports life. It's amazing. We've evolved from the monkeys, and here we are, and we're smart, and we're wealthy, and we're driving BMWs, and it's just chance. But we love the meals, and we love the fellowship, and we love getting together, so let's do that, even though we don't believe in this Creator. And some would argue that there's churches all over America, Christian churches all over America, doing this very same thing. It doesn't matter. You know, Jesus, He's a good way. But we also don't want to belittle our Muslim brothers and sisters, because that's a good way too. See what I'm saying? It's a warning to every one of us that we need to keep Jesus at the center. He's the reason that we gather here. He's the reason that I'm in the football locker room. Not locker, hopefully. I better behave myself, right, Gage? He's the reason that we go to the mission. He's the reason we hand out food downstairs. Otherwise, it's all in vain. Otherwise, the one who holds the keys to hell is going to let you go there. So here's my closing sentence. If you're one who writes down things, this is something you want to write down. Matter of fact, this would be a good tweet or Facebook post. I'm reading this book written in the 1700s from a guy named William Law. It's about living a holy life. Striving to live a holy life. Doesn't matter if you live a holy life or not. It matters that you give it your best effort. Would you agree with that? You give it your best effort. He wrote this: "We must constantly examine how we live and how fit we are to die. We must constantly examine how we live and how fit we are to die." And if you didn't get that, I will probably tweet that after church today. Isn't that good? This from Ephesus, when Jesus is first in your life, when He's the reason for everything else, you're fit to die. It It changes the way you live, and it makes you ready to die. I'm ready to die. And I pray that it changes the way I live. And I pray that when we have our board meeting Tuesday night, that Jesus is on our mind in the decisions we make. I always feel bad because I say this, but it's always been my favorite thing, because Ronnie is in the Lions Club, and the Lions Club does great things, but Jesus isn't the reason the Lions Club does great things. We're not the Lions Club. The Boosters does great things. But Jesus isn't their motivation. We are not a group that just does great things to be recognized in the community and be thought of well. Jesus is our first love. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Jesus, You know every heart. You know how we live the other 6 days of the week. You know the times that we do what we should, and You know the times we do what we shouldn't. And I pray that You would help us to take to heart this lesson today. And I pray that even though I haven't stressed it enough, that You would impress upon the hearts of those here that there is indeed hope, and there is a way to overcome, and that is by turning back to You, for apologizing to You for the ways that we've neglected to pray, for apologizing to You for the ways that we've neglected our Bible reading, to apologize to You for the ways that we've cheated You with our tithes and offerings, or for the ways that we have done things so that we could receive the glory instead of You receiving the glory. And You, Lord, call that overcoming. Overcoming the temptations for comfort and prosperity. Overcoming the temptations of this world. And You remind us that to we who overcome and put Christ first, that we are again going to be eating from that tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden, that tree of life that was first given to Adam and Eve before the beginning of the time when they ate from the tree of knowledge, that to we who overcome and keep Christ center in our lives, that when we die, You who hold the keys to death and to hell, we'll see that we don't enter there, but we enter Your Father's kingdom. For those who, maybe for the first time today, Lord, want to receive that promise from You and that gift on the cross, I pray that You'd hear their hearts, ask for forgiveness, and You would help them to know that You always forgive those who ask. And God, for the rest of us, many of us who already call ourselves Yours, help us this week to keep You at the center. Students, teachers, workers, retired, help us keep You at the center. We ask and pray this in Christ's name. Amen.